Well, we're in Isaiah and Hosea in our Bibles. We'll end up in Hosea. Go back to Isaiah 42, and verse 8 is our text, but then we will go to Hosea, Isaiah 42, 8. Powerful statement here. I am the Lord, that is my name. No question about that. I am the Lord, that is my name, God says, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's a very, very obvious, strong statement. Amen. Shouldn't be any way to twist that. Shouldn't be any way to try to get around that. There's no way around. God says, I am the Lord. God says, that is my name. He says, my glory will I not give to another. Now, we give it away many times. God says, I'm not giving my glory to another. And he says, I will not give my praise, neither my praise to graven images, idols, idolatry. He said, I will not give that away. To God be the glory. Father, please bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from thy word today. Challenge us. I pray, Lord, that we will have open hearts this morning to your word and to the Holy Spirit's leading. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, My Glory Will I Not Give to Another. God says, I'm not giving up my glory. God says, I will not take second place to anyone. God says, I will. This is my name. I'm the Lord. This is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. We read from Hosea, which is where I will take the content of the message, Hosea chapter 2. And Hosea, of course, is a great book. It is a book about forgiveness, I believe, and it certainly shows that. Hosea, of course, the preacher, is told by God to take a wife. The wife is a harlot, and she is very unfaithful. She goes out, and she's a harlot, and Hosea, of course, takes care of the children. And the amazing thing about Hosea is how he forgives her. Over and over again, he forgives her, and he loves her, and he takes her back. And it is a picture, a wonderful picture of God and God's love for his people. And as God has taken us in, and when we can be his people, how often do we show unfaithfulness as the woman in Hosea, as Hosea's wife? How often do we show that we're unfaithful? How often do we, instead of thanking God and loving God and serving God, how often do we are we unfaithful to him? And even going to idolatry, as is in this passage. What a picture of God and his people. And in our text here, this passage here, this very thing is taking place. We see God's love for his people. And God giving to his people. God providing for his people. And then we see the people's sin. How that God gave and the people abused what God gave. And eventually God took it away from them. And we see that over and over again. I hope that you will understand, God is not going to give away his glory. God says, my glory will I not give to another. Not Baal, not some other god, not the money god, not the popularity god, not the luck god. God says, I'm not giving my glory up to anybody or anything. God says, my glory will I not give to another. And so God gave, the people abused, and God took away. And we see that over and over again. And by the way, we see that in our lives as well. Job said after he lost everything. Job said in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God says, my glory will I not give to another. You know, it's amazing when you read the Bible, And when you look at your own life, you see over and over the great sin of the people, but the great patience of God. Now, if you can't see that in your Bible, you know, every now and then somebody say, well, I can't believe God did this. I can't believe, you know, God would allow drought, or God would allow a tornado, or these kind of things. Wait a minute. Here's what I see. I see God's patience. I see man abusing what God's given. I see man taking advantage of what God has given. I see, you know, and again, I see sin over and over and over again in this world that God has given us. I see us turning against God. I just see patience with God. Every tornado, I think it could be bigger. Every hurricane, I think, wow, you know, God spared an area. Every situation, I think, you know, God's patience is unbelievable. His long-suffering is amazing. He's not willing that any should perish, and I guess that's why He stays His hand. I see man is so guilty, but God is so gracious. Come on now, look at yourself, look at your life. Are we or are we not guilty? Is God or is He not gracious? Anytime we take credit for what He's done, it robs Him of His glory. Do you understand? He said, my glory will I not give to another. Seems like first time we did that, it seems God would smash us. But He doesn't. He's very, very patient. Anytime we give credit to someone else over God, it robs God of His glory. Anytime we misuse what He's given us, it robs God of His glory. Anytime we don't thank Him for what He's done for us, it robs Him of His glory. Anytime we don't praise Him for what He's done for us, it robs Him of His glory. Anytime we don't give back what He's done for us, it robs Him of His glory. If my life is not what He intends for my life to be, it robs Him of His glory. I think God's being very, very patient. In this passage, it's an amazing passage. It is America. It is probably the average Christian. It could be you. It could be me. I mean, this passage describes us so well. The people took what God gave. Then they used it for Baal, for an idol. And God took it back. I believe it happens all the time. And I believe it happens just like this passage. Number one, we see God the great giver. God the great giver. Verse 8, he says, for she did not know that I gave. I gave her these things. She didn't know. James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything. I mean, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, the food that you eat. I mean, I would venture to say that everybody, when the service is over, we'll go off in different locations, different places, and you'll sit down and have a meal. You know what? God gave that food. God gave the water that you drink, the air that you're breathing. God gave you life. I mean, every good gift, everything good has come from God. It comes from above, God says. And it's not, man has not created it. Man has not created everything out of nothing. And no, listen to me. God has given it from above, from heaven. All of it comes from God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world. You know, about the time you start thinking you're really great and you've got a lot, do you remember how you came into the world? Okay, you didn't have a wallet because you had nowhere to put a wallet. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We talked just recently about the caskets with drawers in them. You know, try to understand, that in the drawer doesn't go to heaven with you. Okay, it just kind of stays there in the dirt and rots until somebody digs it up. If it's worth something, maybe they can go sell it. I'm just saying, look, God gives everything. You came in with nothing, and whatever you have today, God gave you. You had nothing. I had nothing. John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Do you understand the scripture there? I mean, you know, we somehow have this idea, well, look what I've done, and look what I've achieved and all that. And certainly there are achievements represented here. But listen to me, were it not for God Almighty, you would have nothing. You'd have nothing. I would have nothing. Well, I understand, we're in America. It's the greatest country in all the world. But if God doesn't provide, if it doesn't come from heaven, then it doesn't come. You say, what about the heathen? What about, well, God reigns on the just and on the unjust. God takes care of the just and the unjust. And God gives gifts to every person on this earth. And God gives rain and God gives oxygen and God gives the water and God gives the food and God gives it all. Everything comes from God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Everything you enjoy. Do you understand? Everything out there, the sunset, the sunrise. Some of you maybe don't know what that looks like. But the clouds, the rainbow, all those things God has given. Everything you and I enjoy. A beautiful green lawn or the beautiful trees as they're changing colors. You know, don't say Mother Nature. There is no Mother Nature. I'm telling you, God gave it all. Lightning flashing across the sky. What a beautiful sight. That God gives that. Everything. Everything. The beautiful mountains. The ocean. All of that. You stand and you stare and you have to understand, folks. God gave that to us. And He gives us richly all things to enjoy. But you know, with everything God gives, He has instructions with them, and that's the Word of God. We do have instructions. There's sometimes God says no. It's like a parent. I'm amazed. Some people, I can't believe God would put man in a garden. Wait a minute. I can't hardly believe God would put man in a garden where everything's perfect. I can't hardly believe it knowing me. I can't hardly believe it knowing you. I can't hardly believe that God would give us everything we need. I can't hardly believe that God would put a man in a place where all the needs are met. Everything that they could enjoy is all there. Everything. And then God puts a tree there. And I've had people say to me, well, you know, why did God put that there? Why couldn't it have just not been there? Why? Because God wanted you and I to choose Him. That's all. Man had everything he needed. Had anything he could ever want there in the garden. And I don't blame Adam and Eve. I blame me. Because had I been Adam or had I been either one of them, it'd be tough for me to be Eve. But you'll notice how I caught that. But listen to me. I would have done the same thing. I would have done exactly what they did. Listen to me, folks. God gave them everything as He's given us everything. But with everything He's given, He has instructions on those things. And it's just like a child. You say, we've got this stove here, but our child, oh, they keep wanting to touch those burners. Why don't you let them? Well, because they're going to get hurt. And that's why God gives instructions on what He's given us. You know, I'm amazed at people that will say, well, God, you know, He shouldn't tell us no. He should just let us do whatever we want to do. Hey, God doesn't want you to get hurt. Plus, God's not going to give His glory away. So there's instructions. It's like somebody with a swimming pool. Well, just let that little baby dive in. Oh, no, we got to tell him, no, 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 no. How about all those little pretty things in your living room? You know what I'm talking about, those things that gather, that are beautiful. And they're sitting on shelves and everything. And all of a sudden, here comes a little two-year-old Poindexter toddling in. You know what I'm talking about. They can't, they're running in. They're looking for destruction. You say, no. Why do you do that? Why don't you just let them play with it? Huh? Listen to me. You understand instruction when it comes to people and your things, but you don't understand instruction when it comes to God and His things. I'm going to tell you, God gives instructions because He's God. He can. God gives instructions because He created everything, and He gives us everything richly to enjoy, and God wants us to choose Him, but He gives us instructions of how to live. He says, I'm not going to give my glory away. You need to do what I tell you to do. Here, He says He gave the corn and the wine and the oil, multiplied her silver and gold. God gave that. God gave corn. That was the daily bread. You know, He said, if you sow and you reap, He said, I'll give the increase. You go out there, you work the ground, you plant the seed. God says, I'll give the increase. God says, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow, man. You're going to have to work because of sin. But God said, I'll give the increase. We've forgotten that God gives the increase. We've forgotten. We think somehow we did it. Well, I'm out there working. I'm doing the job. Yeah, but God gave the ground. What are you going to do without ground? God gave the right weather. What are you going to do without the weather? God gave you health so you could work. What are you going to do without good health? God gave you the strength. What are you going to do without that? You know, even insurance companies recognize there are acts of God. But I'm telling you, we live like there is no God. We live like we somehow have done it. We grab our checkbook and we hold on to it like somehow it's ours. But I want to remind you, whatever's in it or whatever's not in it, God gave you. I want to remind you that whatever's in it, God put it there, and He put it there by giving you health, by giving you a job, by giving you the ability to do it, by putting you in the right place at the right time. That's daily bread. That's just give us this day our daily bread. God, we need your help. The wine and the oil, to me, those are the extras. And you know, we have to work for those. But understand, grapes don't just all of a sudden happen. I want there to be a grape. Doesn't happen. You know, God's got to make it happen. I need an olive for some oil. You know, it does, you know, something has to happen. God has to do it. God has to give the increase. We've forgotten about that here in America. We've forgotten about that in Christian circles, that God has to give the increase. Silver and gold, all the needs we could have. Here's what we say. We say what they said in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Write it down, Deuteronomy 8, 17. That's the testimony of many Americans. That's the testimony of many Christians. Let me repeat it. My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But the very next verse, it straightens that all up. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, very, very clearly, God says, remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Hello. I didn't write it. God did. What's he say? Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. God gives you the power to get wealth, whether it's health, so that you can get out there and physically work, whether it's a mind, so you can calculate and figure things and work that way, whether it's putting you at the right place at the right time. Boy, God does that. I'm just saying, it's God that is the great giver. Then secondly, man is the fast forgetter. I'm telling you, we forget so fast. What's it say? It says, for she did not know that I gave. She didn't know I gave her the corn. She didn't know that I gave her the wine. She didn't know that I gave her the oil. She didn't know that I gave the silver and the gold. Hosea 13, verse 6 says this, they were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. Is that America? Do you understand we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and by far, the majority of Americans will not have any clue of thanking God for anything. Are you listening? We're gonna enjoy the turkey. We're gonna sit down and watch football games. We're gonna gather around with our families. We're gonna eat all day long for many people. And not one time will people seriously say, thank you, God. Thank you. You know, it's because, just like this, man is the fast forgetter. God's the great giver. Man is the fast forgetter. She did not know that I gave. You know, many don't know him. But they know that he's out there. I believe in a God consciousness. I believe Romans teaches that they are without excuse. There's something within every man that there is a God out there. They don't know him. There are many like that. That's why we have soul winning. That's why we have a missions conference, to get the truth to them so they can know him, so they can get saved and meet him and know him personally. What a wonderful thing. But by far, so many. We're like the Jews who they cry out, please get us out of Egypt. And then God gets them out of Egypt. And then God delivers them at the Red Sea. And certainly the whole story, I love the story, but God parts the Red Sea. It's no question about it. Etched in their minds is that parting of the Red Sea and really all of the plagues that God sent to get them out of Egypt. It's just absolutely amazing how soon after they forgot. How can you forget? And they say the words, why came we forth out of Egypt? Are you kidding me? You were being beaten. You were being whipped. You were receiving nothing. You were slaves. And you know, sad to say, it's like the Christians in the book of Revelation. They left their first love. Because we forget so soon. I mean, she did not know that I gave her corn. I wonder where she thought it came from. She didn't know that I gave oil. She didn't know I multiplied her silver and gold. I wonder where she thought it might have come from and came up with all kinds of other ideas. Hey, have you stopped and thought where your paycheck comes from?
Well, yes, it comes from such and such company.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I promise you it doesn't. I promise you it comes from God, who's given you an opportunity. Well, I work hard. I understand you should. The Bible said that's not an excuse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I mean, a Christian says, I work hard. Well, you're supposed to work hard. We're all supposed to work hard. Huh? Have you ever wondered where your paycheck comes from? Have you forgotten where it came from? See, I've prayed for too many paychecks. I know where they come from. You ever pray for a paycheck? You ever pray for a job? Oh, preacher, you know, most of the folks in this room, you have at one time or another. When you get that paycheck, do you ever bow your head and say, thank you, Lord? Or do you find yourself saying, they ought to pay me more? I'm not mad at you, but I'll be honest with you. You've fallen prey to America and America thinking today. I still remember the people in line. I was a very young Christian. Hadn't been saved very long, but going to work at RCA, or trying to get a job at RCA, and I remember the line that was blocks long. People weeping because they needed that job. I remember as they were hiring just so many and people standing in line to get on at RCA. It was one of the best jobs in Marion, Indiana at that time. And I remember watching grown men weep. I have to have this job. I've got to get this job. I remember seeing them when we all got the job. Many of them were hired. They opened up a whole new wing there. And I remember watching them as the days went on. You know, it wasn't long they were saying, we ought to get more breaks. Why is this the only break we get? What's wrong? You know, what's wrong with these people? I remember them griping and complaining, and somebody needs to tell the union about that. We're not getting enough breaks. They're making us work too hard. Well, they expect us to get this out? And I'm thinking, I was just a young guy, but I remember knowing that wasn't right. We do the same with God. We beg God for things, and it's not long. He gives them, and then we gripe. And we complain it's not exactly what we wanted. Hey, perfect example is 9/11. That is the perfect example. I remember so clearly after 9/11, after the towers came down, boy, all of a sudden you could talk about God. All of a sudden, great gathering, sports and everything. We're going to stop and we're going to pray and we're even going to sing God Bless America. People were afraid. But it wasn't long they forgot. You know, I just didn't know you did it, God. Isn't that what we're saying when we don't recognize it? Isn't that what we're saying when we don't thank Him? Isn't that what we're saying? God, I didn't know. I didn't realize that overtime was from you, God. God, I didn't realize that paycheck was from you. I didn't realize that job was from you, God. I didn't realize that car came from you. I didn't realize that was a good. I thought the salesman came up with that idea, God. I thought they had a sale because, you know, they just wanted to be kind to us, God. Well, I didn't realize that insurance deal was from you, God. I just didn't know where it came from, God. I had no idea. You know what? The pilgrims knew. They knew. George Washington knew. Abraham Lincoln knew. So many forget. God's a great giver. Man is a fast forgetter. And he's pushed God off his throne. God says, I won't tolerate that. My glory will I not give to another. God says, I can't tolerate that. And we've pushed God off the throne. We've replaced God with luck. Pity the Christian that thinks anything's luck. I mean that. We kid around about it. We'll have our men's prayer time, and guys, and we'll kid around about that. I mean, to us, that's positively a joke. I can't even believe any Christian would ever think that kind of a thing. Oh, four-leaf clover. Oh, boy. And then you pick it, and it's not so hot for the four-leaf clover. It's dead now. We've already talked about the rabbit's foot didn't do the rabbit any good. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. We push God off the throne when we give credit to luck. We push God off the throne when we give credit to humanism. look what I did. You know, and that's what the world's wanting you to do. The world, hey, you say, well, you know, I don't believe in worshiping other gods. You worship one every time you look in a mirror.
Yes, sir.
It's humanism or worshiping intelligence. Why we're so intelligent. Hey, listen, worshiping those kinds of things is removing God from his throne. Laziness removes God from the throne because we don't praise him. We don't thank him. I watch in church many times. We'll sing a song of praise, and I look at people, and it's like, you are not even paying attention to what you're saying. And God would like you to praise him. It's like we look around at everybody else while we're singing. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. And you can't tell your face is praising. You know, can you imagine telling your spouse, I love you. Honey, you look beautiful. Of course, some of the women, you'd take that if he'd at least show you that much attention. We're pushing him off the throne. We push him off the throne because in America, there's so many that hate him. Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And there's people that hate him. I'm talking about they hate him. They're against him. They're on Satan's team and they make it known. And we just kind of shrink. I think there's people that are willfully ignorant. They call themselves agnostics, which means they say, well, you just can't know. No, you don't try to know. God says, if you want to know, you'll find me. If you search for me with all your heart. Well, find whatever category you might fit here. I want you to think about it because God's a great giver, but man is a fast forgetter, and we've forgotten him. Matthew 5:45, it rains on the just and on the unjust. God just keeps giving. That's what amazes me. He keeps giving. Man says, oh, where'd that come from? Boy, we're lucky we got that corn. Huh? Well, you know, I'm pretty smart. I figured out a way to get some oil. Well, you know, I'm really strong. I was able to dig up that gold. Boy, I'm sure sharp. I made a fast deal. And God just keeps giving. He just keeps giving. You see, Romans 2:4 says this. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Repentance means change your mind. And he keeps doing good to try to get us to change our mind. His desires, you'd change your mind and you'd recognize he's God. His desire, I believe with all my heart, for America. There was a day Americans did recognize that he's God. They did recognize when they planted the crop, God had to bring it up. Amen. They recognized that, hey, if we build a factory here, we're going to have God make this thing work. They recognized that if we're gonna start this business, we need God's help, or it ain't gonna work. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I would like to see the goodness of God get you to change your mind about your thinking of God. He's still good to us. He's still good to us. Hey, would you keep a cow if it didn't give milk? If you're gonna butcher it, right? I'm just saying, if you want a milk cow and it's not giving milk, you don't keep it. Would you keep a car that doesn't run? Some of you would have to answer yes because they're out in your yard. Would you keep a washer and dryer that doesn't work? Hey, how about this? Notice I'm not using cats because that's why I wouldn't have one. But would you keep a dog if it doesn't come running when you call it? Or leave when you tell it to get out? Huh? Yeah, some of you would. Little Fifi. But you know, you use whatever illustration you want to, and they're probably better than that. God keeps giving. God keeps providing. God keeps taking care of us. God keeps dropping down his blessings from heaven. And we ignore him. Because we're fast forgetters. God's a great giver. Man's a fast forgetter. Number three. And by the way, it's bad enough that we forget God. But number three, man is the ungodly user. This is the most amazing thing right here. This is really what I'm trying to get to today. Man is the ungodly user because look what it says in the scripture. And by the way, when man forgets God, the next thing he goes to is an idol, just about always. And again, you say, well, I don't have any rock images that I you know, or wooden images that I worship. No, sometimes it's just looking in the mirror. Sometimes it's a system. It doesn't matter. I mean, when man forgets God, the next thing usually is idols. And look what happens here. The Bible says, she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Not only did man forget God, but man took what God gave man and gave it to worship Baal. You say, that is despicable. And we do it every day. Every day. They used the very gold that God gave them to make an idol. They used God's gifts to dishonor Him. God said, my glory will I not give to another. And they did it. I'm talking about they took God's gifts that He gave and they used them against Him. Instead of praising Him, instead of thanking Him, they used them to dishonor Him. It's like God giving someone knowledge and they use it to disprove the Scriptures. Well, they think. God giving someone knowledge and they use it to glorify themselves. God giving someone an ability, for example, to sing, and they sing for Satan instead of for God. Or they give them a voice and they curse God instead of speak for God. They give them ability, they give them talent, and they use it for the world instead of for God. And Hollywood's full of it. God gives someone beauty, and they use it to allure people to sin. Well, that's all over. To be proud. It amazes me, the pride in our country of something you had absolutely nothing to do with. Absolutely nothing to do with. And God gives money. And we end up loving it. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And as soon as you start loving money, that's the root of all evil. And selfishness stems from that. Stealing, lying, cheating, you name it. And God gives us money with our job. We don't even tithe. Do you understand when you tithe, you're giving God the glory? I understand it's obedience. There's many, many things that are involved when we tithe. But I'm telling you, it's giving God the glory. But instead, you want to use it for your vacation. Isn't that what they did? Sure it is. Lots of people will not even ask God what He wants them to do for missions. You won't even ask. I talked about it in Sunday school, gave the whole plan as far as faith promise. If you weren't here, you ought to get that. You ought to get that CD, DVD, whatever it's called. Record. No. You ought to get it. And because honestly, seriously, God has blessed. And why wouldn't we say, oh, God, you're so good to me. You gave me a job. You gave me these things. You put me in America. God, you're so good. Our praise should constantly be coming from our mouths. But it's just the opposite. It's like, and we turn around and we use it for all kinds of wicked things instead of for godly things. God gives us pleasure and we pervert it with immorality, drunkenness. Gives us marriage. And we now are considering a man and a man can be a family? A woman and a woman. But God gave us family. And we're just kind of sitting back. I'll vote for whoever's going to help my wallet. You worship money. You've replaced God with your wallet. You've replaced God with your checkbook. You've taken God off His throne. You've put a bank there. You put your charge card there. You put money there. Ahead of God. God, how do you want me to vote this year? Not, well, here's what I think. Forget what you think. Forget what I think. You ask Him what He thinks. It's easy. Every candidate, it becomes very easy when you ask God what he thinks. I'll tell you what, any Christian that votes for babies to be killed inside a mother's womb, you ought to get on an altar and get right with God. If there were no other issue, that's enough. Yeah, we all say that's right, amen, but get behind the curtain where nobody sees you. I got news for you. God sees you, and my glory will I not give to another. And do you understand that whole thing is cover up of sin, plus it's money in somebody's pocket. There's that God again. Hello? I'm giving you a lot of free stuff today. Actually, it all is. Now listen, if the gifts came from the leader of the enemies, okay? In other words, if all the gifts came from the enemy, and they're used for the enemy, that's one thing. I'm still against them. But do you understand? These gifts were given by God to glorify God, and they're used to dishonor God. How sad. We make gods of our goods. Luke 12:48 says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required." God's going to require from you what he's given to you. Have you wasted it? What have you done with it? When is the last time you gave anything to missions? We're starting a Spanish ministry next week. I'm so excited about it. Brother Chase is thrilled. I mean, what an awesome opportunity we have. But did you even ask God? Do you want me to give toward that?
Well, I don't happen to like Spanish people.
Get right with God.
Amen. They're going to park in my spot.
Hello? I'm coming on. We were talking about the teen room being full, and Brother Stewart, I think it was, because he's a strange guy. We were kind of kidding around soul winning yesterday, and I said, yeah, what are you going to do, Brother Chase, if the teen room's full? And Brother, I think it was Brother Stewart said, well, I guess they'll take over the auditorium. I said, no, they won't. Tell you what, if there's more in the Spanish ministry than there is in the white people ministry, they will. I can see what next week's sermon's going to be. You know, the fact is, God, this isn't yours. This building's not yours. It's not mine. God gave this. God put all this together. It's not some man came up with some great idea. God had a great idea. God had a wonderful plan. Amen? But again, let me get back to the message here. I got in a little trouble there. I went way off. But it's okay. It ties in. Imagine this, okay? Imagine when Jonathan gave David a sword. Jonathan and David loved each other, and Jonathan gave David a sword. David says, wow, nice sword. He said, that'd be a terrible thing. That's what we do. Imagine when Jonathan gave him a bow. And he says, here, David, I love you. Here's this bow. And David takes it and says, oh, great, here's an arrow. And shoots him right through the heart. You said, that'd be a terrible thing. Isn't that what we're doing to God? It is. God's given us so much, and we've used it against him. Our money, our time, our talent. And we've not only not honored him and thanked him, we forgot him. And then we were the ungodly user. God's a great giver. Man's a fast forgiver. Man is the ungodly user. And number four, the last thing, God's withdrawn wealth. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 9, therefore will I return. He said, all right, they've forgotten that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. They prepared it for Baal. God says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof. And will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Now notice what it says, mine. Notice how God says whose it is? You thought the corn was yours, didn't you? No, it's his. You thought that was all yours. And hey, go in your cabinets today and open them up and look in there and say, wow, God's got a lot of stuff in here. Hey, open the refrigerator today and look inside and say, hey, you know what? That's God's. Well, I know we think it's ours. I understand, we think the car is ours. The house, we think that's ours. We think all these things are ours. God says, it's not. It's mine. I gave it to you. I'm letting you use it. And here's what God says. He says, I'm going to take it away. I'll take it away. Do you understand the country we live in? You're going to hear from missionaries who will tell you things aren't like this everywhere. Okay, things are not like this in other countries. And God's put his hand of blessing on us, but I believe with all my heart, he can take it away. My glory will I not give to another. You say, well, it hadn't happened yet. Ecclesiastes 8:11, sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Did you watch the news this week? I'm not going to ask how many of you have retirement accounts, how many are invested in stocks or anything like that, because I don't want to see the grim look on your face. I have a little retirement account. I didn't look. I don't plan to retire. Now I know I won't. And the world said, what are we going to do? And I said, God's just going to take it away. He can. It's so easy for God to take back. Do you understand the corn, crops, industry, oil, all the stuff that we got to have? Do you understand? To God, it's nothing. It's so simple to take away. And this past week, I'm reminded of Proverbs 23:5, for riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Boom. Just like that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Boom. Just like that. Yeah. It's an engine blowing up. It's a washing machine breaking. It's the doctor saying things aren't looking so hot. All these years, gone to the doctor. They do the blood pressure, and I'm almost, you know, proud of it. It's always world record blood pressure. Always. I mean, sir, they ask me. They dare ask me, do you jog? They do, because my heart rate is always so low. She did it, you know, and I'm just waiting on her to say, wow! She said, a little high. It is? She said, yeah. I said, no way. She said, yeah, it's high. Then I knew. Doctor comes in. Blood pressure. I said, yeah, it's a fluke, I'm sure. He said, well, I want you to check it. You need to check it now. Keep track. So I got me one of these little blood pressure things, and I'm in, you know what? It is high. It's never been high. And again, I'm reminded, just like that. Just like that. We got it all under control, don't we? No, you don't. You have nothing under control. He has everything under control. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Little teeny, eensy-weensy, I can't even describe how small, virus can ruin your whole day. It could take your life. Cancer. A little blood clot starts down in the leg. Simple little thing, just a blood clot, no big deal. It starts down in the leg, and it travels through your body. And as soon as it gets about here, you might have some serious problems. Huh? If it gets through there, it ends up in here, and you might have some more serious problems. I'm just saying it can happen so easily like that. You say, yeah, you're trying to scare me. I'm trying to do anything I can to give God the glory. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. I want you to understand, everything about us is so fragile. We just don't think so. And you know, I can't blame God for taking back what he's given. We've had it so good. When's the last time you thanked him for your paycheck? When's the last time you thanked him for your health? You went to the doctor. Doctor said, "Wow, you're doing great." And you walked out like,
"Guess that diet's working. I guess my exercise is working. I guess what I read in that magazine's working."
And that's it. Where do you start to lose an eye? Where do you start to lose your hearing? Wait till you can't hardly walk. Boy, all of a sudden you recognize things then. Oh, listen, folks. God is the great giver. We're the fast forgetters. And to take, not only forget God, but to use what God's given us for the devil. Unbelievable. Let me close with this. Verse 6. "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them." Then, you could circle that, underline it, put a little star by it. Because I got news for you. The world, the stocks, the credit cards, all that kind of stuff, do you understand? There will be the day when you go to find them and you won't find them. They aren't going to be able to help you. "Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better." Like when the pilgrims begged God to let them live. Like when the Indians brought them food and they worked and they got together, their little group, the wind was raging and they worked and they ate and they thanked God. "God, please let us live. Let us live through the winter, God. Let us live." See, then was it better. Why was it better then? Because God in heaven looked down and said, "They need me. They won't forget me. They're calling on me every hour. They're begging me. They need me." And God said, "I'll bless them." And here it is. Here it is. And we forgot him. Let's bow our heads, please.